Well, hello again. This is Michael welcoming you to our midweek podcast. I don't know whether it's been the same for you, but I've found that over the last two or three weeks, the initial fear of being struck down by coronavirus has reduced somewhat. And that's partly because we've seen that hospitals haven't been as inundated as we thought they might be. But longer term fears of what the new normal life is going to look like have increased. Well, the Bible has quite a lot to teach us about fear, so I thought we would look at one passage which will probably be quite familiar. It's Luke 8, 22 to 25. Maybe you were able to guess what the story was from the clue in the accompanying email. So do have your Bibles open at Luke chapter 8, but first I'm going to pray. Proverbs 22:17 says, "Pay attention and listen to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach." Father, thank you that Jesus is your wisdom. Please help us to apply his teaching to our hearts so that we may become more like him and so bring you honour and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, reading then from Luke 8, beginning at verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Well, I have been in a small sailing boat, but I'm no sailor, and I'm not a confident swimmer either. It only needs the water to be a bit choppy for me to start feeling sick. I can readily identify with the terror of the disciples when this tremendous storm comes apparently from nowhere and threatens to overwhelm their boat. And this may well be happening at night, which can only add to the terror. Now, of course, a number of these disciples were professional fishermen. They were experienced sailors, and they were in familiar territory, on the lake where they regularly went fishing, where they would spend whole nights out fishing. They must have experienced bad storms before. They happened with little warning. But this storm, on this particular day, was on a different scale. Luke tells us that the boat was being swamped, and he tells us objectively that they were in great danger. It wasn't just that the disciples felt afraid. There was a very real possibility, maybe a more likely than not probability, that they would lose their lives. The danger that's been uppermost in all our minds in recent weeks is, of course, that of coronavirus. There has understandably been great attention given in the media to the death rate for COVID-19 amongst those who have been struck by the disease. Grim statistics compare death rates between countries or across different age profiles or between different ethnic groupings or according to pre-existing medical conditions. With the disease affecting people we know, people in our community, a 3% death rate can seem quite scary, even if it is much lower than with something like Ebola. But it seems that the disciples in the boat were facing a much greater risk, except that Jesus was in the boat with them. What difference does or should that make? There's a song we sometimes sung with the little ones at HBC. With Jesus in the boat, we can smile through the storm. Is that the sort of attitude we should be cultivating? Have you been smiling through coronavirus lockdown? It's not easy, is it? But at one level, we do need to say that the approach of that song is right. That is exactly the faith, the childlike trust in Jesus that Jesus commends, that utter security we have in him, whatever our external circumstances. And yet, the disciples weren't smiling, and maybe we aren't smiling either. So how can this incident help us in our fears? Well, there's a few things we might observe. I'm going to focus on two things the disciples got wrong and then one that they got right. Firstly, being near to Jesus, being associated with Jesus, isn't enough. I'm guessing that up to this point, the disciples had always felt safe with Jesus. Yes, he'd said some surprising and challenging things. He'd done some amazing and shocking things. But whatever the situation, even when people were angry with him, he seemed to be so in control. We often use that expression, we're all in the same boat, and the disciples must have thought they were completely safe with Jesus as they set off across the lake. But as the storm struck, Jesus was already asleep. He was there, but not there, with them in body, but apparently unaware of their plight. Well, we too can think that being close to Jesus gives us some kind of immunity from real danger. Maybe that's why we've kept coming to church and kept trying to lead a godly life. We feel we'll be fine if we keep within Jesus's protective aura. But as the disciples found, being near to Jesus doesn't keep us safe when real trouble comes. Don't place your faith in nearness to him. The second thing the disciples got wrong was failing to recognise who Jesus really is. Even after he has calmed the storm, they don't get it. Luke tells us, in fear and amazement, they ask one another, "Who is this?" He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. If they had recognised that he was the eternal Son of God, the one by whom and through whom all things were made, they would not have been amazed that the winds and waves were rendered powerless by his word, though it would still be amazing to see it happen. For the disciples, it was a slow unveiling of this truth as they saw more and more of Jesus. But for us, we have the full and final revelation of Jesus in all his glory as the eternal Son of God set out in the pages of the New Testament. So, do you recognise that Jesus is the one who has the power to command the coronavirus to stop dead in its tracks? And it would have to obey. Now, I'm not expecting Jesus to give such a command just yet. But one day he will give the command that stops everything dead in its tracks, and all will be called to account before him. This is the authority that God the Father has been pleased to give to his eternal Son. Which leads to the thing the disciples did get right. They went to Jesus in their desperate need and pleaded for his help. Despite their lack of faith or their misplaced faith in his physical presence, they went to the only one who could help them and threw themselves on his mercy. "Master, Master, we're going to drown." And despite their lack of faith or their misplaced faith, Jesus was pleased to reach out in grace and save them. So where is your faith today? If it's in doctors and nurses or the NHS or the scientists or face masks and ventilators, wonderful as these people and things are, it won't take away our fear. We need to go to Jesus. Only Jesus, the eternal Son of God, can fully deal with our fear. Will you take your fear and faltering faith to him today and receive the grace that he longs to shower upon you? Is your faith in the right place? Or rather, is your faith in the right person? Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can come to Jesus now with all our fears and faltering faith. Thank you, Jesus, that you understand our fears and our weak faith. Thank you that you do not condemn us, but you welcome us as your family, as your brothers and sisters. In the face of this pandemic, please calm our fears and help us to trust in you as the one through whom all things were made. We don't know what your purposes are, but we trust in your goodness and mercy. We pray that many will turn to Christ at this time, including our unbelieving friends and family members. We pray too that you will prosper the efforts of governments, health services and care services to contain the spread of the virus, and prosper the efforts of scientists to find cures and treatments and vaccines. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. Keep looking to Jesus and do join us again for our service on Sunday.